Thank you, Worship Leader. The chant that we did this morning, not only very effective, but it complements what we're about to talk about this morning. Udam saranam gachami, Dhammam saranam gachami, Saham saranam gachami. Those three expressions, if we pay close attention to it, we can feel the vibration and so derive the truth that they stand for. When he says, I seek refuge in the Buddha. Buddha in Buddhism, though they don't say, represents the ultimate reality, which is God, the creator of all there is. Period. There's no if or but, there's no duality, there's only one presence. That is it. And when you seek refuge in that presence, all kinds of things happen to you. I say so. You realize the reality of who you are. You know life will ups and downs, there will be happiness, there will be challenges, but you go with it because you know you are beyond that. And then when you say, I seek refuge, Dharam Saranam Gacchami, it means I seek refuge in righteousness. Righteousness is the way of the Holy Spirit. Wisdom, joy, and doing the right thing, even when it's inconvenient. Because the only one you are trying to please is the ultimate reality, God. That's it. You don't hold grudges just because somebody says something you don't want to hear. You don't try to get even. You are not jealous. You are not petty. You know. You don't say, why me? No, everything is you. But everything is also not you. And you are above everything. Because then you are in oneness with that one who created everything. Then when he says, Saham Saranam Gachami, I seek refuge in the holy order. This community, you might not see it as holy, but in the presence of God, where two or three are gathered together, I am fully present. That is the presence of God. That is the holy order. And when you are in that holy order, you do things the appropriate way. You don't say, God, just bless me and take away. No. Then how are we going to grow? It's by being tested. If you don't take an exam, you're not going to be promoted to the next class. You won't get your high school diploma. You won't get your BS. You won't get your master's. You have to take the test. But most of all, I guess we want to have PhD, DSC, we don't want to take it. It doesn't work like that, no matter how we try to project that. That is the world of delusion. So that's why those three words are very effective. Buddham Saranam Gacchami. I seek refuge in the Buddha. I seek refuge in Almighty God. Dharam Saranam Gacchami. I seek refuge in righteousness. Saham Saranam Gacchami. I seek refuge in holy order and the community. And when you do that, then you know you are following the Buddha way. And that brings us to what we are going to talk about. I'm not going to go on forever. The way of purification. The first thing on the path of righteousness, on the way of righteousness, seeking refuge in righteousness, you got to purify the mind. Because the mind is the engine that moves humans in this physical form. And the Buddha says, people have worldly passions which lead them into delusions and sufferings. There are five ways to emancipate themselves from the bond of worldly passions. But I'm not going to go into all the five, I will just talk about the first one. And it's up to you, go and read the rest in this holy book. I hope people can see it. Hopefully they can see it. The teaching of Buddha. First, they should have right ideas of things. Ideas that are based on careful observation and understand causes and effects and their significance correctly. Most of us, we're not very observant of ourselves, of our speech, of our thoughts, of our actions. We take it for granted. And then we blame it, well, it's not me, as if they've taken away the power for us to control the mind. No, we have the power, we just don't exercise it. And then things happen. And the mind will lead us astray, will lead us to all kinds of convoluted things. And it tries to dominate, but no, we're not supposed to be like that. So we need to, with careful observation, and understand causes and effects and their significance correctly. We've heard this story. Somebody sleep on a piece of banana slip. And then you blaming the banana. Why? Because you are not observant. Because if you are observant and you saw the peel of banana, you won't step on it. Then you won't trip. And then there'll be no, the cause of it, not observing. Then we end up going to the emergency clinic or whatever it is. Since the cause of suffering is rooted in the mind's desires and attachments, and since desire and attachment are related to mistaken observation by an ego self, neglecting the significance of the law of cause and effect, and since it is from these wrong observations, there can be peace only if the mind can be rid of these worldly passions. I will read the first sentence of the second one. Because remember, I said there are five ways to emancipate oneself from the bond of worldly possessions. Second, people can get rid of these mistaken observations and resulting world passions by careful and patient mind control. I don't need to explain that. We know that because we're in the boat, in that yacht of, you know, that is taking us on the tumultuous wave of the ocean. Here's a story before I go into the sayings and the other stories. And those 13 stories, we're not going to speak all of them. I'm just going to pick a few. But this is not part of the 13 stories. This is something that tells us to be observant. Once there was a rich widow who had a reputation for kindness, modesty and courtesy. She had a housemaid who was wise and diligent. One day the maid thought, my mistress has a very good reputation. I wonder whether she is good by nature or is good because of her surroundings. I will try her and find out. Because this is how the world around us, that's how universe put us to the test. Are we real or not? Remember we say we take refuge in the Buddha. Well, we will find that if you do take refuge in the creator of all, or you're all words, you know, all hearts, no cattle, like we say in my state of Texas. One day, the maid thought. The following morning, the maid did not appear before her mistress until nearly noon. The mistress was annoyed and scolded her impatiently. Then the maid replied, "If I am lazy for only a day or two, you ought not to become impatient." Then the mistress became angry. "Because we don't want to be talked back to. She who must be obeyed. We want nature, universe to go according to our ways, not us on the other side going according to the universal way." The next day, the maid got up late again. Like some of us would say, "Oh, she's really asking for it, isn't she?" This made the mistress very angry, and she struck the maid with a stick. Those are times going to be as if she owns that maid. This incident became widely known, and the rich widow lost her good reputation. Many of us are like this woman. While our surroundings are satisfactory, we are kind, modest, and quiet. But it is questionable if we would behave likewise when the conditions change and become unsatisfactory. When things are going well for us, we take refuge in the prayer. We love God. Oh yeah. And they give us a little challenge. "What have you done for me lately?" "No, why me? I don't deserve this." It is only when a person maintains a pure and peaceful mind, remember the mind? And continues to act with goodness, when unpleasant words enter our ears, when others show ill will towards us, when they don't care about us, they talk nasty about us, even they made up stories about us, or when we lack sufficient food, clothes, and shelter, then that's when we may say we are good, things are good. Therefore, those who do good deeds and maintain a peaceful mind only when their surroundings are satisfactory are not really good people. Only those who have received the Buddha's teachings and are training their minds and bodies by those teachings can be called truly good, modest, and peaceful people. Remember Jesus Christ? Now that we were in the period of Lent. When somebody called, "Oh, good master," didn't Jesus say, "Why do you call me good?" You know? Even Jesus himself realizes that because the only one you can call good is the one who created all. That is the embodiment of perfection. And that's the only way we can say that. But because of our imperfect judgment, we label people. And when we don't know the inner thought, that's why they say only God knows your inner thoughts. But we see the outside and we say, "Oh, this is great, this is..." But you don't know. The one you think is great might be a poison. So we need to walk our talk. And let our walk become our talk. Before I go to the stories, now let us go into the sayings, the sacred sayings. We won't go through all either because there are so many of them. But these are nuggets that make us say, even if we can grasp few of them and practice them on a daily basis, we will be better. "He abused me. He laughed at me. He struck me. Does one think, and so long as one retains such thoughts, one's anger continues? Isn't that why Jesus said, if they slap you on one side, turn the other cheek? Well, I don't think most of us would do that. Even I talking. You smack me here, there's going to be a lot of boosters on your face before you know it. But I will practice what my supervisor tells me to do. I'll behave myself. I'll turn the other cheek. But don't test me. Anger will never disappear so long as there are thoughts of resentment in the mind. Because the mind tries to be the almighty, but it's not. It's a fake, you know. Anger will disappear just as soon as thoughts of resentment are forgotten. If a roof is improperly made or in disrepair, rain will leak into the house. So greed enters the mind that is improperly trained or out of control. To be idle is a short road to death, and to be diligent is a way of life. Foolish people are idle, wise people are diligent. You cannot say, Lord, give me my daily bread, and then you sit. Well, like we all know, there's no drone that's just going to roll over the roof of your house and drop the food. You got to go get a job. An arrow maker tries to make his arrow straight. So a wise man tries to keep his mind straight. A disturbed mind is forever active, jumping hither and thither. And it's hard to control, but a tranquil mind is peaceful. Therefore, it is wise to keep the mind under control. That's why we meditate. It is a man's own work. It is a man's own mind, not his enemy or foe, that lures him into evil ways. It is our mind that takes us in the wrong, you know. I've always found that fascinating when they say, oh, it's because he's drunk, that's why he's saying things like that, that's why he does that. No, all those things were already present in the mind. The alcohol just opened the road so that he can step in his boldness. The one who protects his mind from greed, anger, and foolishness is the one who enjoys real and lasting peace. To utter pleasant words without practicing them is like a fine flower without fragrance. These are all Lord Buddha saying. The fragrance of a flower does not float against the wind, but the honor of a good man goes even against the wind into the world. Think about that. Because why does the fragrance of the flower does not float against the wind? Because the fragrance is there. The wind comes and just blows it. You know, they are in harmony. It's not like, you can't touch me. Can't touch this. No. I'll touch you wherever I want, says the wind. And the flower says, I'm fine. A night seems long to a sleepless man, and a journey seems long to a weary traveler. So the time of delusion and suffering seems long to a man who does not know the right teaching, living in righteousness. On a trip, a man should travel with a companion of equal mind, or one who has a better mind. One had better travel alone than to travel with a fool. That's why we have community. Remember, I take refuge in the holy order. Because if you are not of the same mind, they will drag you down. And you can't blame them because your mind is the one following. It doesn't have to. An insincere and evil friend is more to be feared than a wild beast. A wild beast may wound your body, but an evil friend will wound your mind. That's why they tell us not to listen to flattery. Because that is an insincere mind. They flatter you, but then they stick the knife in you. And we know what is going on. for some of our leaders, our rulers, yeah, people flattered them, even though their shortcomings is so obvious to everyone. But they don't see it, and they keep acting like that. And the same people, once that person is out of power, then you see what happens. So long as a man cannot control his own mind, how can he get any satisfaction from thinking such thoughts as, this is my son, this is my treasure? A foolish man suffers from such thoughts. To be foolish is to recognize that one is a fool. It's better than to be foolish and imagine that one is wise. A spoon cannot taste of the food it carries. Likewise, a foolish man cannot understand the wise man's wisdom, even if he associates with a sage. Fresh milk is often slow to curdle. So sinful actions do not always bring immediate results. Sinful actions are more like coals of fire that are hidden in the ashes and keep on smoldering, finally causing a greater fire. That's why you and I are back here on this earth, because of our foolish actions. Yeah. When we're doing it, we're really active. We don't see the repercussion of it, cause and effect. If you are back on this earth, you are just like the rest of us. So don't go thinking you are all that and a bag of chips. You are not. A man is foolish to desire privileges, promotion, profits, or honor, for such desire can never bring happiness, but will bring suffering instead. A good friend who points out mistakes and imperfections and rebukes evil is to be respected, as if he reveals the secret of some hidden treasure. That's why they say stand up to power. You know, speak what? Speak truth to power. Someone who loves you will tell you, you know, they won't. Yeah, you can take your anger on them, but they will tell you the truth. Speak the truth and let the devil be ashamed. That's what I grew up with. A man who is pleased when he receives good instruction will sleep peacefully because his mind is thereby cleansed. Some of these things I will skip them because there's a whole lot of this. To conquer oneself is a greater victory than to conquer thousands in a battle. To live a single day and hear a good teaching is better than to live 100 years without knowing such teaching. Those who respect themselves must be on constant guard, lest they yield to evil desires. Once in a lifetime, at least, they should awaken faith, either in their youth, or in middle age, or even in old age. It's never too late for you to find refuge in Almighty God. The world is always burning with the fires of greed, anger and foolishness. We see it, it's still going. Wars and battles. One should flee from such dangers as soon as possible. In other words, think twice before you utter your words. Because once this is out, it's like a fresh egg, you can scoop it back and it carries the energy and then creates all kinds of things. So some of us would think, well, I'm not responsible for what's going on in Ukraine or in Gaza or wherever the problems are. No, we are responsible because we might not be fully participate, but our thoughts, once we release it, well, it looks for, you know, things that are similar and then they gather speed and then they become reality in the world. To avoid any evil, to seek the good, to keep the mind pure. This is the essence of Buddha's teachings. Endurance is one of the most difficult disciplines, but it is to him who endures that the final victory comes. So we must try to endure even when things are not going our way. As we hold on to God, we take refuge in God. One must remove resentment when he's feeling resentful. One must remove sorrow while he is in the midst of sorrow. One must remove greediness while he is steeped in greed. To live a pure, unselfish life, one must count nothing as one's own in the midst of abundance. I'm going to wrap this up, then I go to the stories. Do not become attached to the things you like, ice cream and all of that. Do not maintain aversion to the things you dislike. Sorrow, fear, and bondage come from one's likes and dislikes. Let me repeat that. Sorrow, fear, and bondage come from one's likes and dislikes. There's a whole lot of sacred saying by Buddha that makes beautiful, beautiful sense. Now we go to the stories. Please listen to some of these stories. They will really move you to wisdom. Once there was a wealthy but foolish man. When he saw the beautiful three-storied house of another man, he envied it and made up his mind to have one built just like it, thinking he was himself just as wealthy. Remember in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's. He called a carpenter and ordered him to build it. The carpenter consented and immediately began to construct the foundation, the first story, the second story, and then the third story. The wealthy man noticed this with irritation and said, I don't want a foundation or a first story or a second story. I just want the beautiful third story. Build it quickly. A foolish man always thinks only of the results and is impatient without the effort that is necessary to get good results. No good can be attained without proper effort. Just as there can be no third story without the foundation and the first and the second stories. That's why they say, even if you're a newbie in meditation, keep practicing. Before you know, all the aches and pains that you can still they will evaporate. Efforts bring results. A foolish man was once boiling honey. You know, the honey would be. His friend suddenly appeared, and the foolish man wanted to offer him some honey. But it was too hot. And so without removing it from the fire, he fanned it to make it cool. Like manner, it is impossible to get the honey of cool wisdom without first removing it from the fire of worldly passions. This one reminds me of another story, but I'll stick to this. Once there were two demons who spent a whole day arguing and quarreling about a box, a cane, and a pair of shoes. Apparently, they don't have a day job. A man passing by inquired, "Why are you arguing about these things? What magical power have they that you should be quarreling about possessing them?" The demons explained to him that from the box they could get anything they desired, food, clothing, or treasure. With the cane, they could subdue all their enemies. And with the pair of shoes, they could travel through the air. Upon hearing this, the man said, "Why quarrel then? If you will go away for a few minutes, I can think of a fair division of the things between you. So the two demons retired, and as soon as they were gone, the man put on the shoes, seized the box, and the cane, and was off through the air. The demons represent men of hidden beliefs. A box means the gifts that are made in charity. They do not realize how many treasures can be produced from charity. In other words, as you give, the universe gives back. A cane means the practice of concentration of the mind. Men do not realize that by the practice of spiritual concentration of the mind, they can subdue all worldly desires. A pair of shoes means the pure disciplines of thought and conduct that will carry them beyond all desires and arguments. Without knowing this, they quarrel and argue about a box, a cane, and a pair of shoes. Once, a beautiful and well-dressed woman visited a house. The master of the house asked her who she was, and she replied that she was the goddess of wealth. The master of the house was delighted and so treated her nicely. Soon after, another woman appeared who was ugly looking and poorly dressed. The master asked who she was, and the woman replied that she was the goddess of poverty. The master was frightened and tried to drive her out of the house, but the woman refused to depart, saying, "The goddess of wealth is my sister. There's an agreement between us that we are never to live separately. If you chase me out, she's to go with me." Sure enough, as soon as the ugly woman went out, the other woman disappeared. Birth goes with death. Fortune goes with misfortune. Bad things follow good things. Men and women should realize this. Foolish people dread misfortune and strive after good fortune. But those who seek enlightenment must transcend both of them and be free of worldly attachment. Then I'm going to read the last one of the 13 chosen ones. Once there lived a poor artist who left his home, leaving his wife to seek his fortune. Excuse me. After 3 years of hard struggles, he had saved 300 pieces of gold and decided to return to his home. On his way, he came to a great temple in which a grand ceremony of offering was in progress. He was greatly impressed by it and thought to himself, "Hitherto, I have thought only of the present. I have never considered my future happiness. It is a part of my good fortune that I have come to this place. I must take advantage of it to plant seeds of merit." Thinking like this, he gratefully donated all his savings to the temple and returned to his home penniless. When he reached his home, his wife reproached him for not bringing her some money for her support. The poor artist replied that he had earned some money but had put it where it would be safe. When she pressed him to tell where he had hidden it, he confessed that he had given it to the monks at a certain temple. This made the wife angry, and she scolded her husband and finally carried the matter to the local judge. When the judge asked the artist for his defense, the artist said that he had not acted foolishly, for he had earned the money during long and hard struggles and wanted to use it as seed for future good fortune. When he came to the temple, it seemed to him that there was the field where he should plant his gold as seed for good fortune. Then he added, "When I gave the monks the gold, it seemed that I was throwing away all greed and stinginess from my mind. And I've realized that real wealth is not gold, but mind." Remember, we're talking how to take care, control the mind, and all things will be. The judge praised the artist's spirit, and those who heard of this manifested their approval by helping him in various ways. Thus, the artist and his wife entered into permanent good fortune. Well, this is too good to pass it. I will let it be. So those stories helps us to purify our mind. Remember, the mind, like they say, the mind is a great thing to waste. We should discipline our mind and open the mind to the Buddhahood. Take refuge, and we will live in righteousness, and life will be more pleasant. Challenges or no challenges. This brings us to the conversation from the Buddha's way. May he bring us the wisdom, truth and power, and above all the joy and love